service this morning, and I appreciate the friendliness. I'm glad that you can come into a place and feel at home. I'm just an old country boy saved by the grace of God, and I appreciate the Lord and how He'll change your life, change your crowd. I would have never met you had I not met Jesus, and I thank God He'll make a difference in your life. And hopefully tonight I'll try to be a blessing to you and be as brief as the Lord will let me be. And y'all go ahead and look at verse number 31 of Acts chapter number 4. Appreciate the visitors who have come tonight. As our custom is, we stand as we read the Word of God. Thank you, Brother Powers, for everything. Appreciate the good meal, the good fellowship, and just being around the people of God. I enjoy it, and I thank the Lord for it. And we're going to try to help you tonight. Acts chapter number 4. And let me go ahead and say while you're standing, y'all please put us on your prayer list. I say that without reserve. Put us on your prayer list. Pray for us. You can pray for us every day, two or three times a day. We covet your prayers. I believe God still answers prayer in these days. And I want y'all to pray for us that God would use us. And pray for me tomorrow as I'll be going out to Missouri. And I'll be leaving Hartsfield sometime in the morning. And I know that Jesus said, "Lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world." And so I know He'd be with me low, but once I get a little bit higher, it makes me kind of nervous. And no, I'm kidding. I know God is He's the God of the universe, and I know that He can protect us. But I just get a little bit nervous. And so y'all pray for me there, and pray for my wife and children as well. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 31, the Bible said, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed which was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Thank you. You can be seated. Here in our text, we see where Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, mentions great power. He mentions great grace, and that word stands out to us in Acts chapter number 4. But throughout the Acts of the Holy Spirit, in the book of Acts, Acts 5, the Bible talks about great fear. Acts number chapter number 6 talks about great wonders. Acts chapter number 8 spoke of great persecution. But in that same chapter, it spoke about great joy. Acts chapter number 11, a great number believe. And so I want to look at that word great, and I want to preach on tonight with the help of the Lord, characteristics of a great church. Now, God has allowed my wife and I to be able to go to some great churches. And they may have a different way that they approach doing things. It was a good day in my life when I realized that just because somebody didn't do it like we do at our house, that does not mean that they're wrong, doesn't mean they're right, just means that they're different. But I've been in some great churches, and I thank God for that. But they're great in their own ways, but they may not do it like we do it, but what do we consider to be our plumb line? What is our standard for being a great church? Now, I've been different places. Men have different personalities. I've been where the pastor hardly, you couldn't hardly hear him. But then I've had others that like me. I mean, man, you don't need no wireless microphone. I mean, they just near about rattle the walls. But both good men, both with the touch of God, great churches, but they've got different ways of doing it. But I tell you what a lot of people look at today, they look at maybe a great number or a great crowd or a great building and think that that means that it's a great church. But what standard do we use as the rule to tell us what is a great church? Now, many people say we have a great crowd down here at our church, at our ecumenical Pentecostal church down here. We've got a great crowd. Well, that's good, and God's not against numbers. As a matter of fact, somebody counted that 3,000 got saved on the day of Pentecost, and God's not against numbers, and neither am I. But I will tell you, a lot of these churches that have great crowds, they're not growing, they're swelling. They're not getting bigger because these people getting saved. What they're doing is they're bringing in a bunch of goats, baying all the time, and say, you just come as you are. Well, you come as you are, and you'll leave just like you came, amen. But I'm glad there are some great churches today that have not dropped the standard, that still hold Bible doctrine as the rule. We have to adhere to Bible doctrine. That is our plumb line. That's our measuring stick. You know, they say, well, now, preacher, we had 2,000 get saved last year. They have about 500 there. That's good. They said we had 2,000 get saved last year. I thought, well, where are they at? How many of them did you get baptized? They say, well, now, preacher, you know how it is these days. I sure do, amen. Praise God, I got saved by the grace of God on a Monday morning. I went to church on Monday night. I joined the church that Sunday, and the deacon board had met ever one time have had to come looking for me. They never had to offer me some position as a grand gizzard wizard of a toilet paper committee. They never had to promise me some position. Praise God, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I don't have to be given some pat on the head and be asked to pray every 5 minutes to get down to the house of God. I believe when I got saved, if they'd let me go to the ladies' meetings, amen, I believe I'd have win. I'd have hid. But I'd have went because I love the house of God and love the people of God. And they say, now, preacher, you know how things are different today. Hey, you know how it is. Yeah, I do. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people got baptized. 3,000 people continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking the bread. I don't understand somebody that says they're saved and does not fall in love with the house of God. I love the people of God. You say, preacher, we don't have a big crowd here. You got more than two. As long as you don't get down below two, you'll be all right. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there in mind the midst of them. As long as you stay above two, you'll be all right around here. Don't you worry about it. They say, well, now we've got a great church because we've got a great crowd. I read in the same book of Acts, chapter number 5, verse 36. Said, for before these days rose up Judas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. Now this man had 400 people following him. He was a false prophet, was not right with God, but he had 400 people say, hey, that's a man of God right there. 400. Now I preached to 400. I preached to more than that. I preached to less than that. But I look at this man, he's got 400 people to Christendom today. They'd say, you know what? He's got a pretty successful ministry. Got 400 people following. He's a false prophet. That was not a great church. And it's not a great work if they do not adhere to Bible doctrine. People say, I don't like that doctrinal preaching. Well, then you don't like preaching. Preaching is doctrine. The Word is teaching. That's what we do. We look in the Word of God. He said, Timothy, I'm pulling out of here. But he said, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 17 times in the pastoral epistles, you'll find the word doctrine. We have to adhere to Bible doctrine. It is very important, according to the Word of God, how you and I believe on how you're saved, on the infallibility of the Scripture. I'm not saying that we may not differ a little bit on when the church started, and I'm not going to strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Most of them people end up doing that. I mean, they preach against everything and ain't even found in the Word of God. Amen, they do. And I'm not against it. Hey, if a man's got convictions and standards higher than mine, hallelujah, I'm not going to be critical of him. I'll pat him, amen. I'll hag him on and say, preach it, preacher. Hey, I'd rather somebody be over here to the far of the right and be against everything that moves than I would somebody over here than let anything go, let anybody sing, anybody preach, anybody teach. Amen. We got to look at the great church. Well, I believe if you're going to look and find out the characteristics of a great church, I believe you'd have to look at the inception of the great church. I believe we can look at least, I'm not saying definitely dogmatically that the church started on Acts 2. I can say, though, if you want to look at characteristics of a great church, you can look at the early church and look at them and see how they did things. Well, what we got to do in order to determine the criteria, the traits of a great church, we'll look at the early church tonight and see how they did things. First of all, they refused to compromise. Acts chapter number 4, verse 1. The Bible said, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Now that's the big boys.
said, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Now what happened was, is the big boys, they said, now listen, you can't do that anymore because you're doing it different than what we do. You want me to tell you something? My most persecution that I've had, and I hadn't had a whole lot, but I tell you what, the most trouble I've had out of, it's not been out of sinners. It's not been out of some old dope head or beer drinker. Hey, listen, those are the kind of people that I was before I got saved, and that's where I would be without the grace of God. And buddy, God died for those sinners. And I tell you what, a sinner appreciate a man, be honest with him. A sinner who knows he's not right with God, he'll love somebody to say, man, listen now, I love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Let me say something, Reverend Wonderful, that don't ever say nothing about something. Hey, listen, I tell you, I know a lot of them bed sheet preachers, amen, they cover everything, don't touch nothing. But I tell you, whatever once in a while, the man of God's going to stand up and he's going to preach against everything that moves, amen, to keep the church clean. I'm not talking about being a hate monger. I'm not, hey, listen, nobody cares how much you know, do they know how much you care. I'm not talking about beating people up, but I am talking about you will not go far in this Bible until you find the doctrine of sin. Buddy, God wants every once in a while. As a matter of fact, if we're going to go by the outline of the Word of God, He says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That's 2 out of 3. That's 66% of the preaching is to be negative. But I'm not, listen, I don't care how deep somebody cuts me when they're preaching. Buddy, I'll tell you what, if I know you care about me, I can take it, I'll receive it. But don't let me bleed to death on the operating table. Sew me back up before you get done. Listen, I tell you what, I don't care what that man preaches. If he preaches the Bible, he'll never have anything to apologize about. They said, Peter, you're going to have to quit doing that because you're not doing it. You're doing it a different method that we don't like it, Peter. And I tell you what happens to a lot of churches, they don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Now, I tell you, you won't never hear this on the radio Bible hour, but Jesus said in Luke 12:51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. Matthew 10:35, Jesus said, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now I realize Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. I'm not talking about that, but the Bible does not tell us that we are to live peaceably with all men to sacrifice Bible doctrine in order to do so. It's not saying that. Hey, we ought to try to get along with everybody, but we ought not try to get along with every religion. Buddy, I'm not yoking up the hands with somebody that don't believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, and that don't believe in the autonomy of the local church. Hey, listen, if God's doing something today, He's doing it through the local church, just like He was in the book of Acts. Amen. If He's working today, He's working through the local church. That's why these little study groups, and they say, well now, you know, your pastor's a dictator. Come on over to my house, and you know, we'll come over here and we'll study the Scripture. Hey, I'm all for the study groups, but a lot of the study groups, they just don't like the man of God getting up preaching with authority and saying, here is what the Bible says. They don't like it. You know why? Hey, listen. Hey, teaching, that'll stretch your intellect. I enjoy good teaching. I do. I love it, man. When a man gets up and teaches me, I enjoy it. Now, I know this, and the man of God ought to be apt to teach, but he ought to be liable to preach, amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, teaching will stretch your intellect. Preaching challenges you to do something about it. It just don't tell you what it says. It says that you need to get right about that thing. Buddy, I'll tell you what, I've had my toes stepped on. I have been preached at, and I knew he was talking to me. He'll say, what'd you do? Now, old flesh don't like it. Don't like it. I don't like it. You nod your head up and down. That's right. I don't like it. But buddy, when that man of God gets up and preaches against my sin, I say, thank you, Lord, for sending a man of God that's not afraid, that's not some pink lemonade sipping society sissy, tiptoeing around and won't say nothing about nothing. They refused. He refused to compromise. And they said, you're going to have to quit.
You know what Peter said? Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's why I'm not hooking up with the ecumenical crowd. That's why I don't yoke up with Benny Hinn laying rotten eggs, amen, and Rod Parsley and the rest of that crowd. Amen. And I'd hate to know I got my religion and what I believe off of TBN. Well, that woman with that big old hairdo looks like a backlash off an open face Zeb Cole reel, amen. Thank God we got enough makeup on, want to make you sing How Firm a Foundation. Hey, man. Listen. I saw that one time at my wife's doctor. I said, look at that. What is that? I didn't say who. I said, what is that? And she was up there and had the old what's his face on there. That looks like he's in the mafia. Carmen. They had him on there. It was ungodly. It was wicked. I was like, can you mean to tell me that people think that that's of God? Hey, listen, they say, you better not say nothing against Benny Hinn. Hey, listen, Benny Hinn's a heretic, and Benny Hinn needs to get saved by the grace of God. Amen. You say, my grandma worshipped him. Well, I tell you what, get your grandma in the Word of God, get mom in the Word of God, get aunts and uncles in the Word of God, and they'll find out that Benny Hinn is not of God. And you know what the Holy Ghost says to that? Amen.
Sure. Amen.
Right, he's in here. The Holy Ghost is in me. Buddy, not one time has God ever dealt with me about preaching against Benny Hinn and preaching against that crowd. Hey, them that sin, rebuke before all that others also may fear. And I tell you what's going on today is the world will see somebody like that, and old Benny gets up and he stands up there and he's blowing that bad breath on everybody. You know what they say? They said, now we know Benny Hinn's of God. I said, how come? Why, young man? I said, you'll watch him, what he does. It's all a show. They say, well, now, hadn't you ever seen it? When he goes and he breathes on the congregation and they all fall backwards. I said, sure have. They said, young man, if you'd look in your Bible, you'd find out that's what Jesus did. Jesus came out of the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus breathed on them and they all fell backwards. I said, yep, and there wasn't one of them saved. Everyone, that's the one that come to kill him. Amen. Is that right or not right? Hello, Tokyo. Is that right? That is right. Buddy, I tell you, the early church said, I'm not compromising. Buddy, I tell you what, this stuff that's going on today, hey, we preach a salvation that will change your life by grace, through faith, in a substitute, by the blood of Jesus. And that is the only way. You think I'm dogmatic. Jesus said, I'm the only way. Now, I tell you what, old Dr. Bottlestopper, buddy, they won't tell you that on the radio. And what's his name? The Houston guy. Osteen, yeah. Hey, Osteen. I read his transcript from Larry King. And they were talking about the sodomites. He'd say, well, I don't go there. He'd say, I don't know. What it was is he got put pinpoint, and buddy, he was afraid to take a stand for God.
Right.
And buddy, God said, you deny me, I'll deny you. It's what the Bible said. Buddy, he would not stand up, and he would not take a stand on the Word of God. Listen, if that's wrong then, it's wrong now. We love them. We want to see them get saved. We try to share the gospel with them. We try to let them see our lives. We're epistles known and read of all men. But we should not ever substitute Bible doctrine to get along with all these other religions. I'm not holding hands with a Jehovah's Witness and a Mormon and a Seventh-day Disadvantage and say we're all going to the same heaven serving the same God, because we're not. I don't care. Hey, you say you believe Baptists only one's going to heaven? No, I don't believe half of them's going either, amen. Now, if you're going to go, you might as well go first class. Amen. That's right. They say, I don't believe all that now. The young man, you're getting a little bit too dogmatic. You're drawing a straight line. I'll tell you what Jesus said. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. He said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And Jesus said, few there be that find it. Hey, the Bible said the wicked are as the troubled sea. Well, the sea covers about 70% of the world. Well, if they're as the troubled sea, not everybody that comes in toting the Bible and says the name Jesus is saved. I wish it were so. I I don't want anybody to die and go to hell without God. But I'm telling you, friend, you'll come under Holy Ghost conviction. God will show you who you are. Hey, the Bible said no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I will raise him up at the last day. We still believe you've got to be under conviction. We believe God will put you under conviction, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Hey, listen, I believe God died for everybody. Gonna turn them into somebody. Go tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. Amen.
Amen.
God died for everybody.
Yes.
Hebrews 2:9 said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. There's a squirrel in that hole. I was just talking to the preacher about this. You know, these people talk about God died for the elect. You say, who are the elect? The elect of whosoever will. Amen. You could be in here set aside as a deacon. You're already elected. And they've already set you aside as a deacon. All you've got to do is receive it. If you don't receive it, you ain't going to become no deacon. If you do, then you're a deacon. Amen. That's right. Now, I got to talking to the preacher about it. And I said, well, what do they do with these different verses in the Bible? And I want to read something here out of 2 Peter. They talk about, well, now, you know, God just died for the elect. Well, here's what the Bible said. 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse 1. He said, but there were false prophets. That means they were not saved. False prophets. Hey, the whole context of this is wells without water. I've heard people try to use that and say, well, you know, they fell back and they did this and lost this. Hey, the whole context is about these false prophets who were never saved. Here's what the Bible said. He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Now, you know if God bought these false prophets that were not even saved and wasn't going to get saved, you know if God bought that ungodly crowd, you know He bought everybody else, amen. I'm glad God is a sovereign God, yes. But God will move in the heart of a sinner, and I believe there's life as long as there's a breath in a man. That God will deal with that man and draw them to a place, and then you either receive it or you reject it.
Amen.
Holy Ghost conviction bringing you to a place of repentance. I'm not talking about a five-step program. That is work salvation. I don't believe that, neither do y'all. You ought not, amen, if you do, shame on you. Titus 3:5 said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. We don't believe that you got to quit drinking, you got to quit smoking, you got to quit swearing, you got to quit fornicating and gambling and all these things. We don't believe you got to quit all these things and then get saved. We do believe that you got to be willing to turn to God from your sin. We do believe you got to turn your back on this world, and when you do, you'll see God. Amen. That is repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. They're inseparable. Repentance and faith work together in the Scriptures. You cannot separate them. God gives us the gift of repentance. He gives us faith to call upon His name. And then we either choose to receive it or reject it. Amen. That's what the early church believed. Now, they had been seen as narrow-minded. They would have been seen, you know, now we're not going to ask you to come down to Rotary Club, because you're going to have to change your message a little bit. He wouldn't change his message. The Bible said in Galatians chapter number 1, verse 8, Paul said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, then there's something in that soup you made, sister. I believe it has made me half mad. Said, but we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's what Paul said. Galatians 1 verse 9, he said, we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, what's the gospel? Paul said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again according to the Scriptures. Well, in 1 Corinthians 1, he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That tells me the gospel is a death, burial, and resurrection for the justification of sinners. Thank God, I'm glad I'm not holding on, walking up the rough side, trying to endure to the end. That's talking about Daniel's 70th week. Amen. Hey, look, now I know somebody by looking at him, he looks like they're enduring it.
Right.
Looks like they're swallowing a sack of him that's been drugged through the briar patch backwards, born on the dark side of the moon. Amen.
Right.
I'm not enduring it. I'm enjoying it. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, I'm in. Praise God. I'm in Jesus in me, and I'm in Him. Like the fish in the water, water in the fish. Like the bird in the air, and the air in the bird. I'm in Him, and He's in me. Well, the devil, to get me out, he'd have to go through the blood. He'd have to get in Jesus and get me out. If he did that, he'd be a saved devil. It ain't going to happen. Amen. Praise God, I am saved. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. For me to go to hell, Jesus would have to go. You say, preacher, but you can jump out. Bible said He holds the ocean in the palm of His hands. Get out of my hand like that. You can't. Amen. You say, that's a license to sin. Paul said, God forbid. God forbid. Oh, no. I didn't need freedom to sin. I had that. This crowd said they got saved, and they just go right on out, doing their same thing, still honky-tonking. And some of y'all may have to explain to somebody even what that honky-tonk is. Go out doing their same thing, running around, still drinking their beer, tracing their skirts. Hey, listen, I don't understand that crowd. I can't relate to that.
Amen.
That's not Bible salvation.
That's right.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things, A-double-L, and the Greek means A-double-L. All things are become new. I believe in progressive sanctification. I believe you have to give somebody time. I believe that there, you get a new convert. Hey, you can't throw a steak down their throat. You've got to handle them. You've got to baby them. You've got to be gentle with a new convert. But what's the first thing you teach a baby? You don't teach a baby what he can do. You teach him what they can't. What's the first word you teach your child? No. You teach them no. Why? Because sin grieves the heart of God. Sin robs you of your victory. Sin will rob you of your joy if you're saved. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Sin smothers God. Not God don't leave, but His power is gone to rule and reign in your life. Listen, when you get saved, this sin nature is still on the inside of you. You will battle that sin nature until the day you die. Sin nature's not eradicated. But there is a dual nature now. When God saves you, 1 Peter 2:4, I believe, or 1:4, He gives to you, He imparts, He imputes unto you His divine nature. But that old man is still alive, and that old nature still wants to rule and reign in your life. What you got to do? You got to starve it. You got to take care of the spiritual man. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Get in the book, amen. Get you a prayer life. Get you a devotional life. God will help you, amen. Thank God, that ain't even an outline. I don't know where that come from. Amen. Right? I'm talking about yoking up with them. Somebody preach a different salvation. What we believe in, I don't believe in holding hands with the Masons and the Gooses and the Elks and all that other crowd. Going in, sitting down with them and saying, well, now, you know, he's the grand architect of the universe. And that's whatever you want to call him. No, it ain't. That's not right. Let me tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said when Paul was going on the road to Damascus, when Paul said, Lord, who art thou, Lord? Here's what Jesus said, Acts chapter number 9, verse 5. He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He didn't say, I'm Allah, and I'm the grand architect of the universe, or I'm Buddha, or I'm Confucius. He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, my name is Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. It's the only way. Jesus plus anything minus anything, it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jonah had it right when he said salvation is of the Lord. Amen. I mean, this lovey-dovey hand-holding, sunny and chair, hip swaying, I got you, babe, crowd. Just come on in. We'll let you teach here now. We'll let you lead Sunday school here. Your pastor's a legalist. They don't even know what legalism means. Hey, I believe you ought to dress right and act right, amen, because the Bible tells that. Beats all I've ever seen. The world has got better sense than a lot of people who claim to be saved.
You're right.
You go into any restaurant and you look on the bathroom door, you'll see the men's door. You know what the man's got on? He's got on a pair of pants. You look at the women's door and she's got on a dress. Now, you can hear Hank Williams Jr. playing in the background from the jukebox. But the restaurant's got enough sense that women are to wear dresses, men are to wear the breeches. That's just plain.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Listen,
And God will help you. Hey, let me say this. The more I go, you would think, I've been saved for 9 years, you'd think I'd think I'm doing pretty good. Oh, Lord. Every day I go by, I'm amazed that, number one, that God would even save me. Right. But that God would save me knowing how I'm going to fail. I'm not even talking about getting out and grow sin. You'll find, if you're here and you first got saved, you'll find out, you'll look back on your life. You're saved right now, you'll look back 5 years from now and go, man, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
And you were saved as the Apostle Paul. You know why? The closer you get to God, the more holy you'll see Him, and the more unholy you'll see yourself.
Right.
Buddy, I wish I was doing as good now as I thought I was 5 years ago.
Right.
Hey, I can sympathize. I can empathize with Isaiah when he said, Oh, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Our problem is we know where everybody else is at tonight. We can see a flea on the back of a dog's leg going down the road, and we can't even see a rhinoceros sitting in our own living room because we're so judgmental and judging everybody else and say, well, now she is right and he is right, and oh, I'm glad that I'm not as other men. I fast and I tithe and things of that nature. Hey, listen, we're all sinners saved by the grace of God, and I can't believe God be so good to us. He is a merciful, gracious, wonderful, long-suffering God.
Amen.
Right. They refuse to compromise. I believe that in the house of God we ought to get along. I believe that what is hurting us today, man, you've got grievances and people's mad and bent up out of shape over something that happened 5 and 10, 15 years ago.
Yes.
You say, well, what about them people? What about them? I don't care if the whole outfit quits. We're not in this thing. Well, it's Jesus that did this.
Right.
If you love Jesus, and I'm going to tell you right now, I believe personally the besetting sin, Hebrews 12:1, let us say, when seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know what I believe that besetting sin is? We get our mind on ourselves, we get our mind on a quote-unquote ministry, and we get our eyes off Jesus.
God help.
We get our eyes off the Lord. Sometimes, now my wife's great with child. We got 3 beautiful children. Look just like daddy, beautiful. We got another one on the way. Humble too. We got one on the way, and I've had to leave her home a little bit more than I'd like to. I've been in places by myself. You know what a lot of people have done? Hey, and I understand that we... Let me use you for an illustration, if you don't mind. Go back there and unlock that door. Go back there and open the door. Now, he could, but I'm holding him back. Okay? I've got him bound. And I'm going to turn loose, stand right there. If you love your wife, you won't go back out of that door. See, I don't have to constrain him. I don't have to tie him. There's something standing in between him and doing that. And that's his love for his beloved.
Yeah.
Buddy, I'll tell you what, thank you. What keeps a lot of people out of sin, it's not the fact that there's somebody there that's got them bound and got them tied, and you can't go and do this, and you can't say that no more, and you can't go with that crowd no more. You can't run with that woman no more. You can't gamble no more. You can't do those things. You can't look at pornography anymore. Hey, it's not somebody holding them back.
Right.
It's the love of Christ that constrains us.
Yes.
It's our love for the Lord Jesus Christ that keeps us from going out and breaking the heart of God.
That's right. Amen.
Buddy, if you love Jesus, you'll live right.
Amen.
And don't tell me how much you love the Lord and hobnob with the world during the week.
Amen.
Still look at your ungodly things and watching Hollywood and running around with the boys. Hey, you don't love Jesus like you say you do. If you did, you would know that when you go out and sin, it transgresses God. It hurts God. Some of you hadn't had the power of God in your life for so long because you're trying to hobnob with the world. What you ought to do tonight is get down an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I'm going the rest of the way with you because I love you. Because I love Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that.
Yes, sir.
They refuse to compromise. Oh, that's 40 minutes on the first point. I got 7 more to go. their regard for supplication. Yeah, I'll need some oxygen and a glycerin pill here in a second. Their regard for supplication. I'm talking about the characteristics of a great church. They refuse to compromise. Look at verse number 24 in Acts chapter number 4. It said, and when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which had made heaven and earth and the sea and all them that is in this. In them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For a truth against thy holy child, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the gent, they're still praying now, saying this. He said, verse 28, for to do whatsoever they handed, and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Buddy, they went into the presence of God. Let me say something. They didn't go down and file a grievance with the mayor and city council of Jerusalem. And they didn't go in and say, free our preacher, free our preacher, free our preacher. No, they didn't file a petition down at City Hall. They didn't get in touch with Tom Murphy. They didn't get in touch with the senators and representatives. They didn't get in touch with their city councilmen and county commissioners. You know what they said? They said, Lord, this crowd's persecuting us.
Right?
Lord, this crowd's making it hard on us. You say, what happened, amen? God stepped in. God intervened. Buddy, I'll tell you what, we'll get God back in our church. It's to let God back in our church, amen. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You say, how do you get in here? You pray, church. You pray. I still believe there's power in prayer. I still believe God will move in 2006. Hey, if we'll get a hold of God, let God get a hold of us. Amen.
Amen.
Pray.
Amen.
He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you made it a den of thieves. Matthew 7:11 said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? Dirty church was a praying church. But I'll tell you what, you're going to do very little praising, very little worshiping, very little serving God if you don't get you a prayer life.
You're right.
You say, when you pray? Well, the Bible said, always men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. We ought to preach on one of these days, come out with your hands up. Come in with a hand. Do you know how you can lift your hands up in the house of God? It's when you've been doing it in private, just you and the Lord.
That's right.
If you'll make time for God in your prayer life, that's the secret. That's where the power's at. Hey, I'm not mastered it, but I sure do want to be a participator.
Amen.
In it.
Amen.
What made the early church great was their prayers.
That's right.
Acts chapter number 12, the Bible said that Herod had shut up Peter, had already killed James, but the Bible said, but prayer was made by the church on his behalf. The church said, the man of God's in a bind, he's in prison, and we're going to pray. And buddy, they got down on their knees and they prayed and that place was shaken. And before it was all over with, Peter come and said, keep a knocking, but you can't come in. Come back tomorrow night and try again. No, Peter went knocking on the door. He had a tougher time getting in the prayer meeting than he did out of prison. He did.
Amen.
The church was praying for him.
Yes.
Prayer works.
Yes, amen.
Prayer get the job done. Yes. You say, preacher, I don't know about it. You would if you prayed. Buddy, I'm telling you what, when you get a prayer life with God,
right.
Look what they did. They exalted God, magnified God,
right.
And said, God, behold. Not that God wouldn't look in, but they just wanted to make sure get the comfort. The Bible said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Prayer may not all, and you say, God don't, listen, God answers every prayer you pray if you pray a biblical prayer.
Right.
He always answers it. Now, sometimes He may say no. And sometimes He may say not right now.
Right.
And sometimes He says yes, but God still answers prayer.
Right.
The early church was a praying church. Their regard for supplication, they were responsive with a sacrifice.
Yes,
Acts chapter number 4, verse 34. said, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them, bought the prices of those things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet. I want to say something parenthetically. What they were doing is they were beginning to get the church founded and started up, and they used everything that they had, all of their resources, to get the house of God in order. Now, God in this dispensation, in these days, actually, we know is a transitional book, God does not require us to give everything and sell everything that we've got to His work unless He asks us to.
Right.
God may want you to do that.
Sure.
But I'm going to tell you something right now. If He does, it's going to be like Belshazzar with the writing on the wall. I mean, He's going to have to make it real clear to me today. Everything I've got belongs to God. Everything you've got belongs to God. You drove God's car to the church tonight. You got God's clothes on.
Right.
I wonder if God's pleased with that. They said, Lord, everything we've got belongs to You. They had their attitude. They were willing to give first of themselves. Listen, I'll tell you, I've never been in a church that was, if a church was a giving church, if that church was not stingy, buddy, I've never been in a church that if they had a giving spirit, I've never been in a church that God was not there. I mean, I'm talking about God manifesting Himself in power. I'm talking about sinners getting saved, backsliders getting right with God, liberty to preach, liberty to worship, liberty to sing, and all. Hey, when God saves you, your pocketbook's going to go along for the ride.
That's right. Amen.
Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Yeah, and I know there's a lot of men in it for the money. I understand that. That is a career to them, not a calling. But when I got saved, I couldn't believe they paid you. You asked God. I couldn't, but they, I preached, they gave me an offer. And I was like, did they pay you for that? You get paid to do what I just did? I was talking about raking in the dough. So when I started preaching, buddy, I'm telling you, the jailhouse, son, they'd throw them flip-flops at me and them cigarette butts. Buddy, they don't spend too well down at the Walmart. That's about all I got, amen. Hey, I tell you, a man of God's called to preach, he'll find a place to preach somewhere, not for money and not for fame or fortune. He's got to let it out.
Amen.
He's got to let it out. I'm going to tell you, a church is a giving church. You'll never be able to outgive God.
Right.
Never, never, never. People say, that tithing puts you under the law, preacher. That tithing's under the law. Listen, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek 400 years before the law was ever given. They say, well, now Jesus said, oh, yes. Matthew chapter number 23, they come and He said, you tithe the mint and anise and cumin, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, faith, temperance. He said, these things ought you to have done.
Right.
And not left the other undone. He said, you ought to tithe.
Right.
But just don't leave these other things undone.
Amen.
It's a New Testament tithing verse. Amen.
Amen.
God will bless a church that gives.
Yes,
say, preacher, I can't afford to give. No, you can't afford not to give.
Right.
Since you got involved in a church and given, and tried to tithe, you say, preacher, you tithe off your net or off your gross. Mm-hmm. Well, you won't be blessed grossly or you won't be blessed netly.
Right.
Whatever you want, it's up to you.
Yeah.
It's up to you. Amen. Buddy, I'm telling you, you get the joy of giving. You watch God provide. Let me say something. The people who've just got saved and you're trying to get a hold of this thing of giving and you don't understand how God's going to do it, you think it just so happened that what you was looking for was 50% off the other day? You think what you found the other day down at Goodwill just so happened to fit you and it was brand new, ain't never been on nobody? You think that's just an accident? You just staggered in there and found that? No, Fred! It's God trying to show you that if you'll give to Him, He'll give it to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I'm not letting no Creflo dollar scare me. Hey, listen, I know bad things happen to good people, but God is still in the blessing business today.
Amen.
You'll learn how to give, buddy. It'll bless you. It'll be a help to you. 2 Corinthians 9:7 said, every man. Hey, the giving's for everybody. I don't care where you're from. If you're from up north, it's you guys. If you're where I'm from, it's all of you. He said, every man. That means giving is for everyone to get involved with. Get the kids involved with it. Watch God turn a nickel into 25 cents. I've seen Him do it. But Luke, does it work, son? Does that giving work? Yes, sir, it works. But my little boy's seen it. Get your kids involved. Watch God come through. Watch God help you. And listen, I said this morning, that suit I had on, let me look here. No, I got this at Walmart. That suit I had on this morning, I didn't get it good. Well, I got Salvation Army. The suit I had on this morning was a 48 regular suit that I found in the Goodwill. Now, you men that are larger, buddy, that's a miracle. There ain't nobody fat dying. Everybody's skinny as a rail. You wear a 40 or 42, buddy, you can find all the suits you want. You go to the end of 46 and 48, you can't find them nowhere. And God sent me a suit. I needed one, amen. And God sent me one. That's just God. That's the way He operates, amen. Learn the blessing of giving, and there'll be something on you. There'll be a blessing in your life you never thought. Hey, and sometimes it does hurt to give, but just give anyhow and do it with joy. Watch God come through for you again and again and again and again. You say, preacher, if you'd ever got tight, it sure enough has got tight.
Yeah.
Buddy, I've had to rake change together. Put gas in the car when I was working at that's when I was selling hardwood floors, still working a full time job, trying to pay myself out of debt. I told the preacher this today. When I got saved, I owed $45,000 of unsecured credit card debt. In 5 years, I say this for the glory of God, Lord, help them. I owed $45,000 of unsecured credit card debt. You know how I got out? God got me out. In 5 years, I was clear of $45,000 of debt. In 5 years. You say, preacher, how'd you get out? Work two jobs? Work three jobs? I give my way out. I give my way out through faith promise missions. The tithe belongs to God. That's His anyhow. I mean, we ain't talking about tipping God. That 10%, it's His. The tithe is the Lord. That belongs to Him. That's His. But if you give above that, get the gospel out. You think God's going to let a church go out of business that's trying to send the gospels all the way around the world, try to get sinners saved by the grace of God? You think God's going to let a church go down like that? You think God, hey, listen, I don't care if gravy goes to $5 a sop in Bremen, Georgia. Praise God, if you're giving and supporting missions and giving like you ought to and tithing, God will make sure. I don't care if there's one cracker, amen. You're going to be nibbling on one corner of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God will bless you. He'll bless you. They were a giving church. They were a giving church. Say, preacher, I work hard for my money. Acts 17:28 says, in Him we live and move and have our being. It's God, sir, that'll give you the power to get up in the morning and go to your work. It's God that's give you the mind to be able to do what you do as a trade. God give that to you. You don't have it. You say, preacher, got a lot of land. No, you don't. That's God's. The only man God ever gave land to was Abraham. I'm telling you, it works. They were a giving church. There was reverence in the congregation. I'm hurrying. That's the famous last words of an independent Baptist preacher. Acts chapter number 5, verse 11 said, and great fear came upon all the church. Ananias and Sapphira got a little stingy, and they lied. Peter said they lied to the Holy Ghost. Next verse said you lied to God. That means God and the Holy Ghost are the same person. That's one proof text for the Trinity. He said, you've lied to God. You have lied to the Holy Ghost. Buddy, I'll tell you what happened. Son, and I wonder what that happened today. If God began to reveal who the liars was in the congregation. And I'm telling you what, it'd scare me.
Right.
They lied to the Holy Ghost. God killed them.
Yes.
Buddy, I'm telling you, Peter didn't sidestep it either. There was reverence in that congregation.
That's right.
The Bible said great fear came upon them all.
Yes, sir.
Listen, we ought to walk around with a holy hatred for sin. And I love God. He's my Father. But I'm telling you, there's a fear. Buddy, I don't want to get sideways with God. I don't want to get cold on God. My family's at stake. My children are at stake. Reverence in the congregation. There was respect in the community. The Bible said, and they all magnified Him. Said, neither did any man join themselves with them. That means they thought the community said, hey, we better watch it before we go to trying to yoke up down there with that church. But they ain't going to be putting up with my sinful lifestyle. They ain't going to be putting up with my VFW trips on Saturday night. But the Bible said that they magnified them. That means they were respected in the community. I'm talking about the characteristics of a great church. They said, hey, that church down there believes living right. Now, they may drive by this place and some other places, and they may say, why, those fundamentalists are in there, and, oh, what a bunch of weirdos, man, and they're a bunch of legalists, and they're in there, and they're putting everyone under the law, and we're free down here sideways. Man, we just have a wonderful, wonderful time. But watch out who sideways calls when grandma's down there in the ER.
Right.
When baby's hooked up on the life support. Oh, preacher Toby, pray, preacher, pray, pray, preacher, pray. Y'all pray. Y'all have special prayer for us down there at Truth Baptist. Y'all have prayer for us down there. They can say all they want to, friend. When the heat's on and they know they got to get a hold of God, they'll get a hold of some people who know God. If you made me mocked and made fun of in the community, I tell you what, they know deep down in their heart, God has not left Himself without a witness.
That's right.
I'm talking about the characteristics of a great church. Well, preacher, that didn't go quite like I thought, but I'm glad it went. Amen. I'm done.